driven by our D&M Leasing Studios. You're rolling with the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
Rangers lineup has dropped. We'll tell you that and more as we get into a mixed bag live from the Comerica backyard here at Globe Life Field, getting you set for Rangers and Angels tonight. It is DeGrom night as he will be your starting pitcher for the Rangers, taking on Soriano, two of the American League's best this evening here at the Globe. Wolchuk, Broaddus, Chiafalo. We got Lucius Alexander back in master control. And thank you to Austin Nix for coordinating our video as well. Rocking with you on this Tolo Tuesday, 877-881-1053. Always the number to text and join the conversation. It is LSU night, which includes a custom LSU Texas Rangers sleeveless hoodie. Brian rocking his Josh Smith LSU jersey as we speak. Is Smitty in the lineup? We'll tell you right after this.
You want a chocolate?
Mama. Mama.
Leave the gun.
Mama.
Take the cannoli.
Mama always said life was like a box of chocolates.
How do they get them back?
Just throw it in the bag.
You never know what you're gonna get.
All righty. Smitty, is he in the lineup? It's a good question. Tell you who's not. Josh Jung.
Jungle.
Josh Jung not in the lineup tonight for your Texas Rangers.
Was he wearing a knee brace out there throwing it around?
I think that was him that was doing a little long toss as well earlier. And he was not in, he's not in the lineup. Maybe that knee's still bothering him a little bit, which is not great news. But you do have Jock Peterson leading off, Josh Smith playing second, batting second tonight. So Smitty on LSU night will be representing. Jake Berger batting third, playing first. Brandon Nimmo will be leading off, playing right field. Ezekiel Duran at third. Evan Carter at center. Alejandro Osuna in left field. Elias Diaz catching for DeGrom. And then Nicky Lopez will be playing short tonight. So that's your Rangers lineup against the Halos this evening. And looking forward to that. We'll talk with Jared coming up at 5 o'clock.
This is a redemption series, man. I mean, they embarrassed you. Last time they popped up on the sked, it's like, oh, yes, yeah. Thank God. Here we go. It's the Halos. And then they freaking sweep you.
Yeah.
You gotta bounce back, dude.
Yep.
You gotta bounce back with a dominant series.
Redemption
here.
Series. Can I ask you, after the soccer match last night,
what did the mantra end up being?
Oh yeah, what was it?
What would it have been?
Just don't after get, the don't match, embarrass
what
yourself.
You besides, like, Michael Irvin belt to ass kind of, what would it?
I was thinking football follies. I was thinking, you know, fiddle fart soccer.
Yeah,
it was very folly.
It was an embarrass your country game.
In fact,
it was an S the bed game.
It was an S the bed game.
Embarrass your country game.
It was a you don't belong on my screen game.
We
had a setback soccer game.
The loss to Belgium in the World Cup drew 30 million viewers on Fox. Yeah. Most watched soccer telecast in U.S. history to watch that dumpster fire.
How many people were tuning in to USA soccer for the first time, maybe in their entire lives, thinking, maybe I could get sucked into being a fan of this? And they come away after 30 million eyeballs were watching it. 60 million eyeballs. Assuming everyone had two that was watching.
Yeah.
Okay, and that is an assumption. I don't want to assume how many eyeballs anyone has. Not in this climate. But, man, I think they walked away after 60 million, roughly 60 million eyeballs watching. They come away from that game with zero fan who is brand new today.
That's sad. That's sad. I mean, hopefully that's not the case, and they watch the entire World Cup, and it's, you know, propels them into a greater chance 4 years from now.
I'm just saying there's at least a section of those
there
people.
That was the
first game to watch. Like, okay, what's everybody talking about?
Listen, yes? I don't think the fan base is the problem.
I
don't think the overall support. Soccer fans put their money where their hearts are. They really
their hearts got
like
S'd on
every
last night.
World yeah, Cup did. Match, and especially in the knockout stage, is like going to a playoff game or going to a Super Bowl for them. I mean, they go from city to city following this thing. You know, what is it? The Outlaws. You know, that group.
Yeah.
I mean, the problem wasn't the support. The problem is that our players just aren't good enough. And where does that start? Does that start in the development? And I'm sure there's somebody over at FC Dallas right now. It's like, whoa, wait a minute, Brian.
Well, you have
we're trying, but why are we just so deficient in this particular sport.
The difference is overseas, you could be 14 years old and making money playing soccer. Here, if you're 14 years old, your parents are paying thousands of dollars a year for you to play soccer.
Well, we need to identify the best and the brightest and put those kids on scholarship. Like, you automatically, yeah. If you're a... And again, that comes down to evaluation, right?
Or it's, hey, you go play
overseas,
right? Yeah. If you're 14, you can do that here. They just got to send you to Europe or Italy, you know? I mean, South America.
That's all it is, man. That's all it is. You just got to go to a completely different country at 13 years old.
Cape Verde takes Argentina to the mat.
Yeah.
Am I right about that?
Yeah.
Cape Verde's got 500,000 people in this.
Egypt today. With Argentina.
The Pharaohs are now.
Yeah, but I'm guessing every single.
They got Mo Salah. I don't know that anybody else knows who's on their team.
It just seems so disheartening that.
Yeah, it was. It was a kick in the ass. Here was Carly Lloyd, who I loved what she had to say. I mean, the U.S. women's soccer team, they're 7 years ago, they won back to back FIFA World Cups. We got that coming up next year. That'll be on Netflix as the U.S. women try to go win another World Cup. But here was Carly Lloyd with some strong words for Team USA and Kristen Pulisic.
No, look, it's a bit of a downer for us being out here now after this loss, but I felt like they lost the game before they even stepped out onto the pitch. And I'm not sure why, and I don't know the reasons, but just from the beginning, just chasing, tentative, scared, just not confident on the ball. And I think big-time players, you wanted some of those big-time players to step up in big moments. And I got to be honest, I was a bit disappointed with Christian Pulisic. I think whether he wants to be the star of this team or not, we didn't see enough from him in this particular game and really the whole World Cup. Little glimpses here and there, but... look, aside from this loss, I think on the brighter storyline, it's been a fantastic World Cup. This team has united the country. They have, gotten American fans to fall in love with them. And there is a bright future, but this is just a real disappointing loss to go out on.
And she was searching for it. She was going with the hammer, She was going with the hammer, and then all of a sudden
it's a velvet hammer.
It felt like, well, I'm sitting up here and I have to be positive and I.
Well, yeah, because that's how they feel about it, right? Because it's like, look, we're trying to grow the sport. It does. It's still well behind. The NFL is way more. The NFL, all, Major League Baseball, hockey. It's behind other sports now. I mean, you're seeing the growth of it. And soccer just kind of like, is it? Like, the MLS, you're right. Like, we have the Portland Timbers are massive. Seattle, I think FC Dallas. If you go to an FC Dallas game, it's sold out. There's a lot of fans.
Yeah, it's 40-some-odd players from our soccer league playing in the World Cup.
Right.
I mean, that's a positive.
That is. MLS is in a better place
now.
We need
guys that are going over there and playing in big-time matches in Germany and in England and... in Spain.
Well, and you can't be skipping out on the Gold Cup, and like Christian Pulisic did. And like, this team needs to play together. They've got to be playing together in the Copa. They've got to be playing together in the Gold Cup. You've got to get some camaraderie and build together and learn how to play together, because they don't always grow up. And hey, maybe, England and some of these others, they have issues with that as well. But clearly, they're way ahead of the game. I mean, Argentina, Brazil. We've got to figure out, look under every single nook and cranny here of how can we get better. We're the United States of America. The whole your best players don't play, I don't care about that. This country has so much talent in it. Despite having the NFL stars and our Major League Baseball stars and NBA stars, don't tell me we can't find some soccer stars as well that are good enough to compete on the world stage. We do it in the most obscure sports in the Olympics. We find guys that are out here kicking ass. Gymnastics, we dominate, right? I mean, hell, hockey, we were not a hockey country. We hadn't won a gold medal since 1980. Finally won the gold medal again. It's possible. That's the beauty of America. We've just got to figure out a way to get there. And we can't keep recycling the same topic. We got to act on it. Because I feel like it's a broken record.
Every 4 years we have this discussion. It's a new former player. And now we've got Carly Lloyd involved. We've got people, ladies involved. And hell, she knows something about winning. She knows something about passion and going out there and finishing the job. But man, you go out there and you just, to look like that is just,
ugh.
But they find a way to, I said this earlier, they find a way to beat Belgium, and then you lose that way to Spain. Yeah, you're disappointed, but you're kind of like, yeah, damn,
well,
they beat a top 10 team, you know. They beat, you know, to beat Spain is gonna, would take so much. But gosh, dang, it took a lot to even, I mean, just how awful. And I'm not gonna sugarcoat this anyway. You know, 9 times out of 10, it looks like that Belgium would have beat you anyway.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. They
if
great.
U.S. is going to play like that, you know, and
absolutely
the lack of, you know, it just it that part of it's tough for me. That we it seems like that we've had this same conversation every 4 years.
Yeah, they just
why
if they qualify, they can get out of their group and then lose in the round of 16. I guess they were able to get that round of 32 win. College sports, we found out the Big 12 and Monster Energy have entered a multi-year sponsorship deal. So the Big 12 will be branded Monster Energy Big 12 football, and there will be Monster logos on conference fields, courts, and jerseys. Do we like this?
Hey, man, you got to get your bag some way,
hell
somehow.
Yeah, it's all about the money. And I guess, hey, I mean, look, we just talked about that with the soccer, the money that it takes. You have all these, you know, private coaches that want the money for it.
Well, they've got to figure out a way to pay the players.
Yeah, they've got to figure out
a way to pay both the men and women's sports. And so if we have to sell out and we're the pork rind, whatever, you know, we got to do it. Because we, you know, these universities have got to come up with ways to make sure that their athletic programs have the money in order to get the best athletes. You know, I'm not even going to say students anymore. You know?
Yeah,
it's not a student athlete thing, because you know it is about. And I always wondered how these guys and gals bounce around all these schools and stay eligible. How do you?
That's another thing. You know, it used to be you got to sit out of
hours
to transfer,
stuff like that, but. I guess not.
Basket weaving, man.
Joey McGuire said, if you're a Texan and you're a fan of football in this state, then why would you go outside of the state to play non-conference games?
I agree.
Because you have such good football in this state.
I agree.
He'd love to play Texas A&M, SMU, because I think it's great for the state of Texas.
I agree.
I'm
100%.
Hell yeah, Joey.
But I think he needs to give, like, maybe he needs to give the Tarletons and some other teams, you know, the opportunity. You know what I'm saying? Maybe if you want to, you know, We've learned a lot about Texas State, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, Texas State, all of a sudden, what they got into the, I think we're into the Pac-12 now, something like that. I think they got
wow.
put into the, you know, so yeah, it's, I think I'm right about that.
That's,
but yeah, some of these programs, you know, they grow.
They could use the love.
They could use the love, but I'm all for it. If he's talking about playing, you know, Texas A&M and Texas and everybody else. My dad and I were watching a show the other day about the old Southwest Conference.
Yeah.
And dad had a big smile on his face because it was the whole thing about cheating in the Southwest Conference. And my dad, it's like it all kind of came back to him as he's watching the program.
Yeah.
Hey, we did this. Yeah,
yes.
Okay. Yeah, I remember this. Yeah.
Well, CBS Sports, as we close down the mixed bag here, built an ultimate college football roster with the best position groups in the land. Quarterback, they're going with Oregon because they got Dante Moore, but now they also have Dylan Raiola as their backup. Running backs, they go with Ole Miss. If Ahmad Hardy were fully healthy and cleared, Missouri would get that nod. But with Quan Lacy, he's going to end up being the best bet there. And then they added Mekhi Frazier from Michigan State, who was the leading rusher there. Wide receiver, they go with Indiana. I mean, you got Charlie Becker and Nick Marsh right now, who are projected to be first-round picks in the upcoming NFL draft. Ohio State was also considered. Tight ends, they're going Georgia. Lawson Lucky is going to start for Georgia. What an amazing name. Lawson Lucky is the guy to watch. Offensive tackle, good news for the Horns. It is Texas. Trevor Goosby, maybe the best left tackle in all of the land. And then they added Wake Forest transfer Melvin Ciani, 6'6", 302, all-ACC pick to play their other tackle spot. Interior O-line, it's Ohio State with Luke Montgomery and Carson Hinsman. Edge, no surprise, the Miami Hurricanes. Guys like Marquise Lightfoot and Damon Wilson, who I liked a lot coming out of the draft, the transfer from Mizzou. Defensive tackle, it's Texas Tech. They got another couple of good transfers that moved over there. A.J. Holmes and Mateen Ibaroga. He's another guy that's going to step up for him. Linebackers, Tennessee. Corners is Notre Dame. Leonard Moore might be the best corner in all of football. Safety, it's Alabama with Bray Hubbard and Keon Sapp. as the guys there. So there's building your ultimate college football team as we're getting closer and closer. Oh, we can taste it. Football right around the corner. Eric, should we talk some hoops?
Yeah, bad news for a Texas broadcaster. One rookie is standing out above the rest, plus a little father-son feud next in the nation.